The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Hello, it's Saturday, March 27th, and it's time for Kiowa Talk. Welcome, this is Joe Poe and Mary Helen Deere hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay. Our sponsors for the Kiowa Talk here on Saturday mornings on New Country 985 KACO are 1. Jake's Rib, 2. Kiowas for a Better Future, 3. District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, 4. District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotide, 5. District 4 Citizen Susan Campbell, and number 6, District 7 Citizen Lawrence Spotted Bird. And we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in today to listen to this week's show. We have on the horn for our first guest, Leonard Kozad Jr., who will be giving our prayer for today. Leonard, how are you doing today?
Pretty good so far, thank you.
Well, that's good. Well, we'll turn the show over to you, and you go ahead and give your prayer.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. I hope. Dear God, we thank you again for another beautiful day. We thank to all the Native American people on this Mother Earth that we appreciate them, the elders especially. We thank you for all the good things that they have left us, the elders are no longer here, that we take pride in what they left us. On cold pay, the dog, he go, who did I? He go, Kimmy, they sound go, they go, five ball, they go, on my own time, a dog, he. How they go, ain't time, so go, dog, he go, no, in dog, go, so go, be they go, ain't dog, so I told go, dog, he go, no, can I tell you, dog, go, no, go, ain't bone, go, no, they go, hang the dog. No, no, baby, they say, yeah, dog, he goes on the only time ago. They say, dog, they go, ain't they, though? Only dog, the dog, he tell him, dog. I'm calling, go, they go, ain't more hope, he go, radio station, go. Dog, it goes on, my dog, he goes on the only time. They go, go, they go, go, no, no. They will go, no, go, tell you, they call for me, go. Tired, they go, hang the dog. No, you ain't dog. Nanny Kozad, Silver, hang the dog. No, Bobby, Larry Kozad, go hang the dog. They go, no. I get going to take the dog. He going, ah. Ain't that someone ain't your day called the rod dog or now only time, dog. I hold dog. Thank you for everything, for this beautiful day again that I could see. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Leonard, thank you for that beautiful and wonderful prayer, and thank you for coming on the show once again, and, and giving the prayer for our show. I really appreciate your time. Next week, you'll have to come down with us so we can take you to Jake's Rib, all right?
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Leonard. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That was Leonard Kozad Jr., and we did our invocation. The next part of our show, we'll be moving on to the Kiowa Elder of the Week, which is Susan Whitehorse Johnson. And Mary Helen, I'll turn this portion of the show over to you, and you can talk with Susan and find out what's going on with her life, and let's listen to her story. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Joe. And hello, Susan. And first of all, my apologies. I had some real mix-ups with my phone and telephone numbers and everything else. So I apologize for not getting with you beforehand. I'm so glad that you're able to be on the show today. We like to hear from some of our elders about, you know, who's your folks, and how were you raised? Where did you grow up? What were some of your experiences as a child? And how have those experiences and teachings impacted your life as an adult? So I'll just go ahead and start off with, who's your folks, Susan?
First of all, thank you guys for asking me to be Elder of the Week. I don't know, as I sit here thinking, and I'm actually looking at a picture I posted on Facebook of my grandfather and grandmother and my beloved Aunt Florine. And, you know, you're just thankful for their lives and the things they endured that affected my life. And hopefully I'm passing on a few of those things that I can to my own grandchildren. And it is times when it's hard to believe that I'm 65 years old and an elder. But I tell you what, it's also a time that you can reflect that some of the teachings we have, we must make a better effort to keep those going. My father's name was Roland Whitehorse, and he grew up, I guess what you would say, the Whitehorse Corner. You know, you don't know much about your family's life when they were growing up, but I do know that they were a big part of the tradition and the carrying on of our songs through the Ohoma Lodge. All those families that were connected then still have family members working and trying to keep Ohoma Lodge going as best they can. And I know one thing that I got from my father is his brother, Matthew Whitehorse, was the bustle keeper. And, of course, his father, Charlie Whitehorse, was the bustle keeper. And through their efforts in keeping our families together through song, through tradition, even when they were not supposed to, you know, the stories of them being punished and doing it underground, doing it in a secretive way. But those efforts are what we need to remember, because they're the ones that would manage to keep what we've got. And, I know it on Facebook, the younger ones that may not know, will take it upon yourself to ask. Spend time with your elders. Spend time and find out what are some of the things that they endured when they started going to school. You know, when we made that transition to school, which I do work in a public school, it takes your effort to model. You know, be that parent that's going to help your child, you know, with the schooling. Because that's probably what was going on when my father had to go to school. What kind of schooling did he attend? And it was probably something that wasn't easy. And you know, life is not easy. But to make a transition from being Kiowa to stepping into the society, these are the things that were endured by that generation. I'm sitting here looking at my grandmother, and my grandmother was Laura Polkasaw. And, you know, there's a picture that's out there on Facebook where my grandfather was described as the husband of Laura Polkasaw. And I just thought the wording of that was a little bit different. But I look at her, and I know that the small amount of time that we were able to spend with her, she would comb my hair. I was very fortunate to have long hair. And I remember one time when I had my plaits backwards, she just kind of laughed, and she was blind from diabetes. So there is the health things that the change, the transition that our people endured affected their health. But I still remember just the gentleness of her. And as she's combing my hair, she's telling me things. And, you know, when you're sitting there, you don't have much choice but to listen, because she's combing your hair and you think, oh, I just loved every second. And that was so precious for me to have that opportunity to spend that time with my grandmother and tell me things about being a young lady. You know, about how you carry yourself, you know, how you, at that time, like I said, with our hair, always make sure your hair is, you know, appropriately, you know, pulled back, you know, clean, well kept. And those are the things that we have to do for our family, you know, as you become a mother and a wife, you know, taking care of things like that. It may seem small, but that's important. Those little things is what set us aside, as knowing that you have a caring family. And that's some of the things that you get from your grandparents. I know that as I look at my grandfather, I've always seen pictures, and he's always got a bow and arrow, you know, and the stories are he's very, very good at archery, at hunting, and stuff like that. So I think it's important, and I was so proud of the efforts of Oma Lodge, and I know my cousin Maxine hosts a archery shoot. And that's just, if you really think about it, that's a simple way to make sure we've honored, you know, what he did and how he influenced probably a whole lot of the young men in the area was through archery. So everyone that pictures I see, he is carrying that. And it makes me proud to know that, that was something he took pride in, and that we in our small way can carry that on. So I appreciate all those at Oma Lodge that continue that effort. And I sure encourage everybody to get a bow and arrow out. That's something that all Indians are known for, but, you know, take pride and effort in your way to carry on a simple tradition like that. I was very fortunate. My mother's name is June Whitehorse, and she's Oto Potawatomi. And her father's name was Joe Carson. And, you know, at that time, my mother was sent off to school. And she was just now I'm just drawing a blank of what school, but it was up north. And she didn't get to go home because, you know, I was telling my sons one day that they just didn't go. You just couldn't go drive and get them. You know, it was a buck, the wagon, the, you know, 2 or 3 days along the way to go to get her because she was up near Kansas. And so she didn't get to come home every year. And at that time, she was out of touch with her father. And then her mother passed away. You know, I believe it was tuberculosis. And that's something else that's not discussed in history books is the health of our Indian people through, and now we're experiencing this pandemic. But, this, you know, we've lost a lot of members, and it's through these health issues that affect us so much. So, you know, Native people have endured a lot. But with the loss of her mother, she raised her younger siblings. So, again, it's something that they've endured, and that's what she just had to do. But my grandfather, Joe Carson, was a Peyote man for the in the Oto area, Red Rock. And I've made efforts to stay in touch with that part of my family, too. Another thing that I really appreciate about my mother and her influence and with us living in Elgin, Oklahoma, was the proximity to Lawton that my mother enrolled me in ballet lessons. Part of the reason she enrolled me in that was because I was extremely flat-footed, that even the doctor recommended that for my feet. And through those lessons, I met amazing people. But at that time, it was a strict, very disciplined, strict ballet. And I was able, through exercise, is really what it was, in the training, that my feet became arched and we're stronger. And so as we grew up in Elgin and driving back and forth with my father working at Fort Sill, there were so many opportunities for us to take part in art activities. My father was also, he worked at the Indian Fair at the exhibition building with arts and crafts, you know, juried art shows. I remember traveling to Graham, Texas. A lot of those trips, Doc Tate, Eva Koya, and George Watchetaker, Wuji, those men were taking the native art and artists to Texas to these juried art shows. And through that, they started bridging the gaps of the sharing the our wonderful paintings. Because I guess everyone knows that some of our artists are just have amazing work. And they were doing that in the 60s, early 60s and 70s. And, of course, out of that came big shows like Red Earth, you know, The Gathering. But it was through those efforts for those young men at that time to do that. So we was fortunate to grow up in the art world. And then when I was in high school and junior high, we lived in Elgin, and, of course, you played basketball. Well, basketball had a large influence on our life. My brother's coach, he was an Indian man. Coach Osborne came to Elgin and made a real difference in my brother. And we, of course, he was older. We followed him in basketball. At that time, we became basketball players. And just had, you know, just so much fun with that team sport. And so when we got ready to go to college, my sister Janet and I, when we went to college, we enrolled in dance classes at OU. And the teacher there was Yvonne Chateau and her husband, Miguel Terikoff. Well, of course, honestly, the minute she knew we were Indian, little Indian girls, she immediately took us under her wing. She wanted to make sure we had things that we might need, you know, because at the time, toe shoes were very expensive. And, you know, she would just, you know, very quietly after class, are you doing okay? Or is there anything that you need that may not be able to help? But, of course, my father was fortunate enough to have a job and provide for us while we were in college. So the experience at college was just amazing. But I also became involved in playing Indian ball. And I met some amazing, I still have my lifelong friends. We had a team, Oklahoma Reds, where Mary Lane was on the team. Of course, I already had my sisters like Lois Satoke. We all played. And then Cheryl McClellan, Second Fox. And at that time, this tournament or two after that, I met my husband. During an Indian ball tournament, and we just have a whole lifelong friends and relations with Indian basketball. And one of the reasons I know I don't have much time to bring that up is we're back to this pandemic of the health of our native people. And I'm just so disappointed in the fact that as we were maneuvering through the pandemic, and we were fortunate that tribes were giving all this money, that nothing was done to create a health facility for our people. Just recently, like I said, as basketball became a part of our lives, my brother was a referee. Of course, I have two sons, Levi and Eli, who played basketball here at Walters. They're little Blue Devils. And now I have grandsons and grandchildren, and they're playing basketball. And I spent the weekends, last two weekends, in the Oklahoma City and Norman area at these gyms, four-court gyms, of nothing but basketball tournaments. And this OU. Well, I was doing something similar when we were in college at OU, hosted tournaments that were all native, all young people in college, playing the sport, you know, meeting people, all across the country. People came from Haskell, you know, Bacon, a team from New Mexico. And, you know, Indian people like to gather like that. It brings them together. And we have more similarities than we have differences. But through this pandemic...
Your two-minute warning is right now.
Okay. during this pandemic, as I was sitting up there, you know, we're all in masks. We've, like I said, Native people have survived pandemics. So I'm sitting there thinking, why don't we have something like that? We had $19 million given to us. And we have property right there in Lawton, Oklahoma, KCA property, be it the Indian School or across from Central Junior High. Why can't we have a facility that's going to bring Native people together through basketball, or an arena for, you know, if you travel, you go to Rocky Boy and see their amazing arena. Why don't we have that as KCA, as tribal members? But you look at all the money that KCA got. Was there a plan one to bring to fight this pandemic through improving our health? You know, so through all this, and again, thank you for letting me be Elder of the Week, and I sure appreciate that. But I just want everyone to think about how we can help our people through this pandemic and improve their lives, and improve the lives of our children, our grandchildren, and their grandchildren, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be looking ahead to our other generations.
Susan, we have just 40 more seconds, but I do have one question for you. What advice would you give to the Kiowa young people today on go ahead, Mary Helen, you chime in here.
What advice would you have for the young people of today? They didn't grow up like we did. And I think they're missing out on a lot of experiences and knowledge. So what advice would you give to the young people?
I think today, with what we have with our technology and these devices that are so, this virtual world that has been created, you know, there's a social distance powwow, the sharing of these pictures. But I think as what I was trying to do with my grandchildren is let's spend time together in front of those devices and let's show them this picture of my grandfather. You know, and a lot of times it doesn't have to be you're spending 4 hours with them. Even if it's just 20 minutes of sharing something about your family when you're fortunate enough to get together. Like I said, this weekend, it was three generations, me, my son, and my grandson. Spending time in a gym, basketball, but also goal setting and encouragement. You cannot give these children right now enough encouragement. They're kind of isolated. This pandemic is taking its toll on their normal activities. So, you know, you have to make an effort to bring your family together. But at that time, you know, keep encouraging them that this is who you are, you know, and you have to bridge that gap to let them know that they're Kiowa or they're Oto and Potawatomi, and let them know that that's still a part of who they are. And that can only be done by you, even if a letter, you know, or send them a message, but something that can connect through this time is what's so much needed for our young people.
All right, Susan, thank you. That wraps us up for our time for today. Thank you for being the Kiowa Elder of the Week and for your words of wisdom to these younger Kiowas, and thank you for taking time out of your day to help us on our show.
Aho for having me. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Susan. Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Susan Whitehorse Johnson, and she lives in Walters, and she is the Johnson O'Malley coordinator for the Walters Public School System. And so our next segment of the show is we will hear from Terry Hunter, who is the director of the Indian Health Service in Anadarko. Terry, are you there today?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Well, how are you doing today?
Good morning. Which one is it? I forgot.
Oh, this
anyway,
is.
Anyway, I'm doing fine.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, you know, I had to think about it too, but it's we finally made it to Thursday, and I was on vacation. I got back Tuesday from California, so this has been a kind of a short week for me. But we were just going to kind of just let you pull your string and just let you say what's on your mind, and we might have a few questions and we might not. But Terry, go ahead. The floor is yours.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on here. And I think it's an opportunity to share the message about how important it is right now during the pandemic, which is still going on, to be tested if you're symptomatic. And also the importance of getting the vaccine. we've put a lot of time and effort into getting the vaccine out there to our people in the Lawton Service Unit. And the Lawton Service Unit is composed of the Lawton Indian Hospital, Anadarko Indian Health Center, and the Carnegie Indian Health Center. And I thought I'd just give you some numbers to kind of give you a perspective where we are since we've been giving the vaccine. For the Oklahoma area, well, first of all, for IHS in general, so far they've given out 850,000 vaccine doses across Indian country. And the goal is to hit the 1 million mark by the end of March, and I think we're going to meet it. In the Oklahoma area, including the tribal and urban programs, 210,448 doses have been given to those that are eligible for Indian Health Services. And you break that down, we've done 137,000 first doses and 68,000 second. And break it down further for the Lawton Service Unit, we've given a total of 9,054. The Lawton Indian Hospital has given 5,254. Anadarko Indian Health Center, in conjunction with Carnegie, we've given 3,662. And part of our effort that we've been getting, trying to get the vaccine out there, is we've been partnering with our local seven tribes in the service unit. And in doing that, we've conducted roughly Lawton Indian Hospital's done 12 offsite. And usually these are at the tribal facilities, be it tribal headquarters or even the casinos. And so they've conducted 12, and here at Anadarko, we've conducted 15, and actually we've been in Red Buffalo Hall four different times. So I was thankful that we were allowed to use that facility to give the vaccine. So that gives you an idea in terms of what we've been doing and getting the vaccine out there. We also have daily clinics for the vaccine. I have two numbers here that people can call, either the Lawton Hospital or call the Anadarko Clinic, which is a number for both Carnegie and Anadarko. And that's an automated system. It takes your information and they call back with a date and a time for your appointment. We also have recently started an online booking at the Lawton Service Unit website, where you can book your own appointment. And that's only available right now at the hospital, but it's soon going to be available at Anadarko and Carnegie. And we're currently offering three vaccines. The Moderna is for 18 and over, and there's 28 days for you have to wait for the second dose. The Pfizer is for 16 and over, and it's 21 days for the second dose you have to wait. We just now started offering the Janssen, and it's for ages 18 and over. And as you know, that's one dose. And so we're really trying to get the message out there in terms of getting the vaccine. It's so important. And listening to your previous elder, I think it is important that we get the message out there, because I think we have sort of gone through those people that wanted it, our tribal members that want it. But there's an age group that is younger, and I think they're reluctant to get it for whatever reason. And I think we should be encouraging them to get the vaccine. I know she was talking about being in a crowded gym with a lot of people. Well, there again, you don't know if somebody in that crowd is positive or not. So I just stress the importance of helping us trying to get that message out there. And I would like to say one thing else. You know, the president signed the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, and the act provides $6.1 billion in new funding for the Indian Health Service to support not only IHS, but tribal and urban health programs to combat the COVID-19. And so they've been conducting tribal consultations in terms of getting input on, you know, how to allocate those dollars and to, you know, what programs. Those are kind of some of the highlights I wanted to share with you. And you have questions for me?
Yeah, I do have a couple of questions. The first one, and you may or may not know, what do you believe the status of the COVID rates in Kiowa country? Do you think they've stabilized? Are they still increasing? Or do you think they're trending downward?
Well, the data that we see with our testing is that they have been trending downward in Kiowa country. you know, our testing has fallen off quite a bit from what it was. And a lot of our testing that we're experiencing now is for somebody that needs a test to go to work, go back to work. Some businesses still require 30 days, get tested every 30 days. But I think overall for our area, if I remember right, I think our area, we were down to something like, let me see if I got a number here for you. I think I did. I know overall with the testing for all of IHS, our seven-day average was 4.6%. And if I recall, I think for the Oklahoma area, it was 3.7%. And we have really been trying to encourage people to still do the testing as well. And I think that we're probably in that range, I would say anywhere from 3.7 to 10% in Kiowa country.
Well, that's real good. That's real good. And this next question is kind of subjective for you.
Okay.
Are there any new guidelines as we continue into these next few months? And when do you think some restriction will be lifted on gatherings, funerals, celebrations? I know everyone is hungry for powwow season because it's coming up, and people are anxious to get together once again. Do you have any guesstimate, or could you provide any guidance on when you think that we might be able to powwow again?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and I think a lot of that is going to be determined on the number of people, the number of our people that get the vaccine, because, you know, we're looking for community immunity, and that really applies really to all of our Indian country and our communities, because you know how we are as a people. We love to, we don't just shake hands, you know, we hug each other.
That's right.
You know, we put blankets around each other. So I think that really depends on that vaccine going forward and really encouraging our relatives, our friends, our young people to get that vaccine. That's going to impact that.
Yep, I agree now. If we hit it hard now, the date of when we'll be able to powwow will be coming sooner. So if you could real quickly just go give pass out the phone numbers and the contact
methods.
Yes,
I forgot to do
so
that.
These people sure. So the people okay. can call the people in their area and they can get themselves vaccinated. And the Kiowa Talk radio program encourages every member in its listening range to get a vaccine as soon as possible. And don't become a statistic, a bad statistic. Become a good statistic in that you're vaccinated.
Oh, absolutely. You can go on our Lawton Service Unit website, and if you want to book online there, you'll see it. It's got appointments. You just click that on, and it takes you through the process. And the two numbers that I have that are automated numbers that ask you for basic information, the Lawton Hospital number is 580-354-5020. Again, it's 580-354-5020. And the number for Anadarko and Carnegie is 405-247-7989.
So
I really encourage people to get the vaccine.
Again, we'll be putting those numbers up on the Kiowas for a Better Future website so that people can see those. Terry, from what we've been reading around Indian country, the Lawton Service Unit has been doing an excellent job in distributing these vaccines, and we applaud you for that job. In closing, do you have anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Well, I would just like to say thank you for having me on there, and thank you for citing that compliment, which is great for our staff. You know, most of our staff are part of the communities, you know, part of different tribes, and they put everything into this. I mean, hearts and souls. So I really applaud our staff at all facilities for doing that. And again, I just encourage everybody, if we're going to get back out there and get back on the powwow trail celebrations, get the vaccine.
Well,
I think
you.
I would leave you with that comment.
Thank you again, Terry. And we'd like to see if maybe in a couple of months you could come back on the show again. If you could get permission.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, excellent. All right. Kiowa Talk people, that was Terry Hunter, and he is director of the Lawton Service Unit for the Indian Health Service. And we would like to thank him for taking time out of his day and talking on the show. Again, thank you, Terry, and you have a great day. Okay, next, let me make a few announcements. The Oklahoma City Powwow Club's Indian Taco Sale is today, Saturday, March 27th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 3131 North Pennsylvania in Oklahoma City. There will be a Native Arts and Crafts site on-site as well. Come one, come all, drive-through only. Number two, the Oklahoma City Powwow Club on March 31st at 7 p.m. is raffling off a horse Pendleton for $3 a chance. Details is on the Kiowa or the Oklahoma City Powwow Club Facebook page or on Kiowa's for a Better Future. We've gotten rid of the moles in our dance arena, and within the little guys leave holes everywhere, and we are in the process of leveling our dance grounds. So the taco sale and our raffle for the horse Pendleton will help defray the cost of redoing our ground so that we have a nice dance ground for everyone to dance on when we open up. Next week also, I'd like to announce that Ray Doya will be our Kiowa Elder of the Week. And so at this point here, now we'll move on to the next segment of the show, which is our legislative update.
We've got District 5 legislator Nick Johnson and District 7 legislator Jacob Totai to give us a weekly legislative update. So, Anita, why don't you go first? I know that you have been on a lot lately, and so we'll let you go first, and you just go ahead and say what's on your mind and what news would you like to bring to Kiowa.
Okay. I don't really have a lot, but the thing that's really been taking up a lot of time with the legislators is the budget for 2021-22 of the Kiowa Tribe. We did receive a budget from the chairman by February 1st. And so that's what's been, we've been addressing. And as legislators in our individually, and we haven't yet met as a group to finalize it. That's going to happen this coming week. And we hope to have a special meeting on Wednesday, the 31st. That will be our 30th day since we posted the budget. And that will be our final day to have our special meeting requested from a request to the chairman in writing to allow us to have a special meeting Wednesday. Then we'll see about passing that budget. But the budget that we received was quite a bit of money, and so we've taken steps to reduce that as the legislature is charged with not only finding money but also with the trying to conserve as the tribe wants us to because of the pandemic that we're still suffering from, and we need to address as decrease the spending of the tribal government as much as we can. So we're trying to be as conservative as we can in spending and give as much as we can to the people in the way of services, the basic services of social services and food distribution, also with the AOA to the elderly and handicapped, and our transportation, our new transportation and fast trans. That that's what's been capturing my mind this past month and a half, I would say. We attended the signing over of the property from Hobart, the donation of property to the Kiowa tribe on Thursday, which was a historical event. I was so happy that the legislature, Ben Wolf, had led that charge for the legislative group, and he carried it on and pursued it, and was very diligent with his pursuit of that deed of trust. And it was one of his main focuses as a legislator for that district, which is the Elk Creek District, and on behalf of the city of Hobart and all, and most of all with the Kiowa tribe, the Kiowas of Hobart. And the event was kind of windy, and it wasn't a big to-do, and I'm assuming the big to-do will be when they break ground and when they have the opening of the casino at Hobart. Although it was attended by some of the people that live there at Hobart, some of the residents, all the legislators were there, and the chairman of the tribe, Mr. Kamalti, was there, and Bureau of Indian Affairs, agency superintendent, regional director's representative was there, and a few of the staff of the complex was there. It pretty much attended by the Kiowa staff and agency and regional office, and I was satisfied with it. It just was a brought joy to my heart, because my heritage is from Elk Creek, and it was a long time coming, but I was very happy with it, very happy with it, what happened there and the signing over of that property, which used to be all of ours, but nonetheless, it became a part of a different culture's property. Those are two of the big events that took up my time this past month and a half, and Thursday. On the other side of the coin, my condolences and heart goes out to the Kiowa tribal members who have lost loved ones this past year, since this COVID started last March, and it's been 1 year that we have suffered through this, and I know that we've lost a lot of members of our tribe, and just want to offer my condolences to the families that have been touched with that, and I know it's all of us are related, and we've all been touched with, throughout our tribe with this. And so that's about all that I have to say, Jacob.
Thank you, Nita. And I would echo your sentiments about yesterday's gathering, as it was a very almost emotional time when we realized or consider the benefit that may be derived for that community that has been oftentimes neglected as a service area because the numbers are not as significant as other areas and the communication link is not as effective, has not been, but I am very thankful for the role that legislator Sarah Wolf plays in that community. He brings a lot of attention by his diligence and his hard work to serve that community. And as an example, I'll tell you about, and I know he doesn't want credit or tributes or anything. He's such a humble man. But through this pandemic, he had the opportunity or was called to assist an elder who was in need of dialysis, regular dialysis, in none of the dialysis treatment centers there in the area would service her. And so he took it upon himself to transport her as she was as she was dealing with the virus. She was infected, and legislator Wolf transported her in his vehicle to the city several times, and he had to fashion his vehicle to protect himself as best as possible. And he innovatively constructed a shower curtain shield to give him some measure of security and safety from infection while meeting the needs of his constituent. And I was really in awe of him putting himself in harm's way to assist our citizen. And so I commend him and thankful for that service. But and he was one of the main reasons moving the momentum to obtain the land in trust initiative. And he has a great pride in his community and knows the history very well, significant for our tribe. And so I commend him for that work. And it was a very proud moment for him that he got to share with the leadership of our tribe in acknowledging that we hope one day to have the benefit of a gaming center there for that area, the employment opportunities that will be available to our Kiowa citizens and the benefit to the non-Kiowa in the Hobart community that will be derived from this economic enterprise is just very exciting to know what may come from the efforts, the collective efforts, but Ben took a lot of that on himself, but to see it come to fruition where we do have that potential, and hope we look forward to the groundbreaking ceremonies, as Anita mentioned, so that we can finally see that facility up and running. It was a very good moment for us, and it was a beautiful day, and we had a number of dignitaries from the Bureau of Indian Affairs hierarchy to the tribal representatives, elected leaders. All seven legislators were present. Our executive branch, the chairman was there. And then several of our local representatives, program representatives, and then a member of that community, Richard Goyku, was there to represent the committee as an elder. So it was a significant moment, and I'm thankful we all got together there in the wind, but in the bright sunshine. So it was a significant moment as we see our economic enterprises move forward in order to buttress those that are already in place and to bring some employment opportunities, as I mentioned. So that was great. As Anita mentioned, we are hard at work at the budget. There was a lot of adjustments to be made from the original, from the executive branch's submission at the end of January. And we have been looking at that diligently. And in our mind, and echoing again Nita's sentiment about trying to be as prudent as possible, because this is uncertain times. Right? We have fragile economic base, and we need to be very cautious. And we are hoping to be able to eliminate a number of substantial raises that were put in the executive branch's budget proposal, including, I want to cite some of the examples of the estimate of the amount of raises that were presented. The chairman's budget included for his salary a $6,500 raise, for vice chairman a $9,000 raise, for his executive assistant a $10,500 raise, and for the treasurer, $12,800. And the enrollment clerk was $6,240. And we have paired all those back to last year's budget amount, salary amount, because this is not the time to increase the personal income of our tribal elected officials. In the legislators, proposed budget included a $2,000 raise, and we have eliminated that in our initial draft, as well as a significant raise for our clerk. And we're going through the budget line item by line item and making reductions to more realistic figures in order for us to be as effective stewards as possible for these positions for which we were elected to serve. And I'm sure we'll get some pushback, and we may be confronted with dual budget once again this year, but we're hopeful that our Kiowa Indian Council will recognize that what the legislature presents is by far a more frugal budget proposal, and we'll make the most of the income that we expect in the coming year. So we may be in for inner conflict among our legislators, but we hope that the sentiment will be that they agree and concur that our budget should be presented to the Kiowa Indian Council ultimately. But we'll see what happens. And again, Anita mentioned the impact of the virus in our community, and we have estimates of over 130 of our tribal members, citizens, who have journeyed on. Again, we can't emphasize enough the need to be vaccinated, especially among our elders. And so within that 130 number among our citizens, many tribal treasurers who carried a storehouse of knowledge and cultural foundation that we will never be able to recapture. That is what's so horrendous about this disease, as it has inflicted so much emotional impact and physical impact, the loss of so many people. Over 530,000 people have passed on, journeyed on in this country. So we continue to make that a priority, that our citizens take advantage of the opportunity to be vaccinated. And the presence of the single vaccination should be encouraging to those who are afraid of that needle. And hopefully it will be available here in our communities very shortly. Encourage all of our citizens to take advantage of the opportunity they have within our community, either through IHS or through the state portal, to be vaccinated. So look forward to that, to make continuing progress within our communities. That's all I have at the moment.
All right.
One thing that I, sorry, Joe, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
One thing that I forgot to mention within that budget, as we were discussing and comparing data, we have been always concerned with the resolution of the KIC several years ago, where they lowered the blood availability of the elder payment to age 62, and they increased the payment to $1,000. And so the lowering of the age came about, but the increase in payment has yet to come. It still remained at $500. So that's been a concern, and just really haven't had the means to do that. So that's been, we've really been looking at that and trying to come up with a way to get that to the elder people. And we're trying very hard to get that payment to the level that the elders have requested, to $1,000. And I think this year we're going to be able to do that.
So, Anita, I wanted to expand on that and then get your input, and just to make sure that everyone understands that the Christmas payment monies cannot come from casino revenues. They have to come from any other source besides casino revenues, because casino revenues cannot be distributed in a per cap basis without the revenue, the approved revenue allocation plan.
Okay,
and
Joe,
that has been the struggle.
Minutes. Joe, you've got about two minutes.
All right, 2 minutes. All right, and that has been the struggle to find the $1.8 million to do the full elders payment. If I'm correct in understanding, $900,000 takes a year of a $500 payment to everybody 62 and older, and we need another $900,000 to take care of the other $500, and it has to come from non-casino revenues. That's basically true, Anita?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share? I know that we're running out of time.
No.
Okay. Jacob and Anita, thank you so much for being on the show. I know that you two are very busy in representing the people in various events and places, and I thank you for your time in appearing on the show, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Joe, one, before you go, okay. I would like to encourage
all
those listening, if you think you might have a payment, especially an elder payment, to please call and get with them. You need to change your address so that they have an updated address. You need to call enrollment.
All right, and Jacob, would you would happen to have that direct number on you, would you?
Yes, I do. It's 580-654-6327.
All righty. And all of these numbers that we put up during the show, we'll be posting those on Kiowas for a Better Future so that you guys can use those as a reference later in the show. So, again, Anita and Jacob, thank you for appearing on the show, and we'll talk to you all next week. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. So we would like to thank all the Koivu people for tuning in to Kiowa Talk Radio on New Country 985 KATO FM. And that concludes the show for today. So we'd like to wrap it up, and we'd like to say goodbye for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Moman Media management and staff.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.